One day a washboard, the next day a machine. First an icebox, then a refrigerator. In the years after World War II, Canadian households underwent a revolution as manufacturers fought to sell us every new device and appliance. Many families struggled just to make ends meet. Still, those modern purchases changed the way we live. Today in the open line, I want to hear your memories of your home in the 50s and the 60s. What is the best thing you bought for your home? What's the worst purchase you made? In the Lower Mainland, give me a call at 669-3733. Elsewhere in the province, the number to call is 1-800-825-5950. Now, my guest for this hour is Dr. Joy Parr. She's an historian at Simon Fraser University with a special interest in the way we furnish our homes after World War II. Good afternoon, Joy.
Thank you.
Well, what is it about the subject that fascinates you so much?
Well, I wanted to write a book about the 40s and 50s. It seemed as if we had gone too long just having biographies of prime ministers in Canadian history for the post-war period. And I guess I thought, well, what would most characterize this period as different from before? Mm-hmm. And it seemed to me that maybe in the 40s and 50s and early 60s, there was a fundamental redefinition of how much was enough. How much we needed to get along from day to day. And also that maybe people were changing their definition of who they were a little bit in terms of defining themselves in terms of what they owned, as opposed to where they lived or what religion they had. Mm-hmm. Anyway, those were my working hypotheses. And in the last few years, I've been talking to women around British Columbia about those matters in their lives.
Well, tell me how the war changed the marketplace for household goods.
Well, initially, it's surprising in Canada, it didn't change it very much. I think women who got married in 1929, by 1945, must have been feeling they'd been waiting a rather long time to get their first stove of their own. But after the war, there were tremendous difficulties in retooling Canadian appliance plants, which had been making bombs and whatever during the Second World War. There were tremendous shortages of strategic metals. We had a tremendous currency shortage because we'd lent a lot of money to Great Britain for the war, and then Great Britain wasn't really in a state to pay it back.
Right away,
so
yeah.
A lot of women were waiting until maybe 51, 52 for there to be stoves and fridges and wringer washing machines were the things that people were most yearning for. Wringer washers were often the very, I mean, if this is the time of the baby boom, right?
Yes.
Washing
diapers
by hand. I
remember the wringer washing machine down in the basement. Yeah. What about you? What are your memories of that time?
Well, it's a fairly lean time. I mean, because now we read back the 50s and we think of Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best and all those wonderful American homes that had two floors and bathrooms attached to every bedroom and, you know, quite astonishing. I remember a pretty plain household with wooden furniture that had come from members of our family. I don't remember chrome and modern and those other and wrought iron that are now portrayed. There's a wonderful exhibit a couple of weeks ago at Emily Carr of British Columbia designed furniture from the 40s and 50s, and it's all beech and teak and lean. But I remember a sort of big, puffy, stuffy, dark green, dark red things in our home, and a mum at home with a certain frustration about being at home. I think. You know, wondering about that broader world that my father left to go to every morning downtown. Because I think we're now sort of, we think of that time of as a time when people were, women were pleased to be in the home and raise families. And I think my mom was. But also I think she had a sense that she'd had a pretty lively life during the war and, you know, now was in a sort of simpler life. I mean, we can't have been great conversationalists, the three of us.
So what was the, what do you remember as the first, you know, modernizing influences that came into your home?
The one I remember coming in was television.
I remember that clearly, the day it arrived.
Yeah. My dad had to go overseas to work in the British West Indies, I think, for a winter. which must have been hard to be left alone in a Canadian winter with that. And so he brought a television set to keep my mother company while he was away.
Do you, tell me about that memory of it arriving.
Well, I remember it arriving. I don't actually remember much after that. I think that my mother was a little suspicious of what sort of influences this television would have. But I don't think they were, this would have been 55 or 56. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they were on for 3 hours a day or so, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think mostly what I remember in the first while was turning it on and there was this Indian buffalo head on. I mean, it was just test pattern.
Yeah.
Most of the time for a while. Yeah. And then then there was lots of talk on the television at that point,
mm-hmm.
right? Men earnestly commenting to one another or one thing or another. Nathan Cohen and those folks. So I don't remember it as being so lively as now it's reportrayed.
Okay, let's go to our telephone lines mm-hmm. and see what other folks have to say. Mona is calling from West Vancouver. Hi, Mona.
Hello.
What are your memories of that time, as far as
wonderful.
Great appliances or terrible ones?
Oh, no. Well, a varied mix. But I've just since you started this survey, I've had the greatest pleasure thinking back. I was married in 1950. My husband at that time was making $36 a week, a monstrous salary. Everybody we knew was just back from either going to university, back from the war, starting out. Nobody had any money. My husband's reestablishment credits, I remember we bought a Ringer washing machine, like, wow, which was two stories down in a crummy old converted red brick house in eastern Canada. I was allowed to use a wash for 1 hour once a week. I did a lot of bootleg washing. There were all sorts of things. The advertising you're talking about was certainly there, but it was largely in American magazines. And to me, the joy of that was you could buy a magazine for 5 cents. I guess the advertising paid a lot of the cost. But the first really big-time new appliance we got was a dryer. By that time, I had two small children, and we had moved to British Columbia, where it rained all the time, and we had the dryer. We moved into a house we had a lease for 6 months, but we were too poor to have it hooked up. But I can remember an incident very vividly. Every weekend it rained that first summer in British Columbia, and one day I had a beautiful clothesline of washing on the line, and it started to rain. Then it cleared up, and there was a huge beech tree shading the clothesline, so I went out and chopped down the beech tree. That took care of that frustration.
Oh, boy.
But I can remember very vividly the first television set that I actually watched. It was the day of Sid Caesar. The terrible problem of getting a television set then was that everybody you knew came to visit, and you were swamped with visitors. We didn't have one until years after this. But my overriding memory of it all is that you, after the war, you couldn't get anything. You had points, and you'd go on a list, and if you bought a refrigerator, you had to pay some money down, but you might not get it for 18 months because they weren't yet available.
Now, tell me why that dryer was so much more important to you than the Ringer washer.
Well, I had two babies, and I was in British Columbia where the sun never shone. Pretty simple. I mean, to press a button and not have to run up and down stairs and hang diapers on the line was marvelous.
Okay, Mona, just give a listen to this, okay?
Have you ever tried to dry your clothes on a day like this? Well, it's so easy with a new Frigidaire Filtramatic dryer. You'll dry your wash damp dry or bone dry electrically in any weather. No more dashing out into the rain to take down dripping clothes. No more driving winds to worry about. No more weather worries at all. And thanks to the exclusive Frigidaire Filtrator, you'll never be bothered with excessive humidity or sticky lint flying about your drying room. Do your next week's wash and all your washing from now on the simple, work-free way. Wash in the Frigidaire Automatic Washer. Dry in the Frigidaire Filtramatic Dryer. See this dependable porcelain pair at your Frigidaire dealers now.
Mona, is he speaking? It sounds like he is speaking to you.
Was he ever talking to every housewife with babies? What I'd love to know, what did that darling pair cost?
In those days, I have no idea.
But I don't think the costs are radically different. But, the earning power is radically different.
Do you have any...
Mona's got it right. I mean, a stove in those days would have cost about $450, which is about what it costs today. And when you think about what Mona was describing her husband earning and saying it was good wages, these things were expensive. You had to save for them as well as Mona noted, wait for them.
Wait for them, indeed.
What were the implications, Joy, of the dryer? I mean, you know, Mona explains how much more important it was to her than even a Ringer washing machine.
And Mona describes the experience of most women I talked to who lived in the Lower Mainland. But women who lived in the interior or in Victoria, or women I've talked to who moved to this part of the world from other places in the country, said that they found the dryer something that often was bought for them rather than they bought for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They were pressed by the hydro utilities all across the country because they ran hydro bills up. And so if you were wanting to, in those days, it wasn't power smart, right? It was load building. So trying to get people to buy appliances that would use a lot of electricity was really important for hydro companies. But women, when they got them, said they noticed that the hydro bill went up. Also, this display of laundry on a line and the sociability of going out to hang your laundry on the common day of the week, often Monday, when people did their women did their big wash. Lots of women said they didn't use them because they missed that yard ritual. I don't think fleecy and those things were invented for nothing. They missed the smell of it being outside. If it wasn't pouring rain, Mona, of course that's a problem. But if you had nice, brisk, clear winter days, and if this was a chance to, when you were working as an isolated person in the household most of the time, get out into the yard and see others. Lots of women said they had dryers that they didn't use very much, or boasted to me that they had a dryer, but they didn't use it because they thought it was wasteful.
Interesting. Mona?
It was certainly expensive. You've missed one salient point in hanging clothes on the line, the wonderful smell when you bring them in.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Okay, thank you so much for your call.
I can't wait to hear everybody else's. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So if you do have stories to share, call in. We are waiting for your calls. The telephone numbers are 669-3733 if you're calling from the Lower Mainland. If you're calling long distance, 1-800-825-5950. And if you're on a cell phone, it's *690. Okay, Ruth, you're on the line from Victoria. What are your memories of this time?
Well, this is from the 60s when I was a child of about 10. We got our first bathroom in. Never did that, no longer had to sit beside the stove with a tin tub with 2 kettles of water.
Oh.
And that was a major accomplishment there.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one's from about 68 when the year my dad died, we got electric stove, electric dryer, and electric furnace. There's a major, quite a deal there.
What did it mean to have an electric stove? What kind of stove did you have before?
Oh, wood stove. Everything was wood. Wood furnace, wood stove. And then, of course, up in Interior, BC, hanging your clothes out in the middle of winter in the minus 20 weather sometimes.
Crisp sheets.
Oh, yes. And then you put them inside and thaw them out.
Yeah. But what difference did it make to the way your family worked when you had that electric?
Well, for one thing, with the electric furnace, we forgot to put a vent in the floor, and so the floor was cold because the old wood furnace kept the old floor warm.
Ah.
And then you no longer had to get up in the morning to a cold stove, where with the wood furnace, you always had to had someone cutting firewood for you, which was a real pain. And then you had to go down there in the morning and stoke the thing up. Now it took a while to get going.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the labor, and then we no longer had to bring kindling into the fire. And but then you no longer had any heat in the house. Well, you know, upstairs you had a wood stove to keep things going. So then you had to sort of get other sort of heat source of heat because electric doesn't give warmth like the wood stoves did.
Yeah. Did it change the way the cooking happened? I mean, besides the supply of wood and things like that.
Not so much. I don't think. I just think for us kids, no longer hauling firewood, no longer having to get neighbors to haul wood for you and that sort of thing. So your dependency went way down, which was for us was a major factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'd read that on one side as dependency. On another side, it raised barriers between neighbors. I mean, it is a trouble to always have to help your neighbor out. On another hand, you do see your neighbor if you have to help them out. I thought something interesting what Ruth said was to note that they couldn't get an electric stove until they had electricity. I mean, similarly, you couldn't get an automatic washing machine until you had pumped water and a hot water heater.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain ways in which these appliances that were for sale, and we hear about the selling, all had to wait until homes had mechanical systems that we can't presume were in most British Columbia homes until, well, maybe the late 50s before people had reliable pumped water and electricity.
Interesting. Okay, thank you, Ruth, so much for your call.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ginny is now on the line from Metrosen. Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Oh, fine.
So what are the appliances or the big items like that that you remember from your household in the 50s or 60s?
Well, I'll tell you one that I can remember. I don't actually have to go back that far. I just go back a couple of years ago.
What's that?
I got a mangle.
You're kidding. Now, why did you do that?
Well, I have a bed and breakfast.
Uh-huh.
And I was concerned about what the sheets would look like, and even if I whipped them out of the dryer real fast, they still looked wrinkly to me. And so I decided, well, I really have to iron these sheets, but hand ironing them, especially with modern irons, it doesn't work too well. I find modern irons, that they call them light and easy, and they're too light, so you have to press down real hard,
mm-hmm.
and it takes hours. So I was very fortunate. My mother and father-in-law had a mangle, and they had given it to me, and it's wonderful.
So how long does it take you to do, well, say, one bed full of sheets?
Well, yeah, okay, like, say, a set of queen sheets, fitted sheet, flat sheet, and two pillowcases. It probably, now, you have to kind of fold things and stuff,
yep.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but it probably doesn't take more than about... 5 to 7 minutes, I would say.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, 10 minutes at the most. And so it's wonderful. My husband built me this real neat little trolley it sits on in the den, and
mm-hmm.
I can pull it out of the cupboard and get the bed sheets ironed quickly.
Did you have one in your home when you were younger?
No, I do have a memory of a mangle back when I was in high school, and I guess that would have been in the 50s, 60s, actually. There was a mangle sort of sitting over there in the corner. I don't remember ever using it. I think I was actually terrified of the thing.
As I remember the same kind of feeling. My mother and grandmother would use it. Yeah.
yeah.
The mangle. We used to call it the mangler, my sister and I did.
But actually, it's great, and I've never managed to mangle myself yet, so.
Oh, boy. Now, this is unusual to actually take an older piece, an older appliance from that time, and
kind of recycle it, I guess.
Right, that's true. That's one that didn't catch on. When Woodward's and the Standard in Victoria were selling appliances in groups, come 1954 when appliances were available, the four you could buy in a group were a fridge, a stove, a wringer washer, and a mangle. But other than women who bought them in the groups, I didn't find very many women who had them. I think lots of women got a mangle if, like Ginny, they had, well, the 1950s equivalent, if they had boarders in the house, so that you had more laundry and maybe had the same worry about standards that Ginny's noticing. But the other thing I think that's interesting about the mangle is it's something that was supposed to be labor-saving and then got displaced, came to seem to be labor-demanding once polyester got folded into cotton and sheets, right? Then you just didn't bother to iron at all unless you had somebody with extraordinarily
mm-hmm.
high standards.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one that people tried, that makers tried to sell, that Canadian women generally resisted.
Well, that's interesting because so many of the other things were, you know, produced without, like, you know, people demanding this kind of stuff appear.
Mm-hmm.
And, The demand was created for it by the manufacturers.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call, Ginny.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bonnie's on the line now in Port Coquitlam. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. What about you?
Well, I guess I have memories of what we didn't have. I remember my mother standing at the ironing board with laundry strung all over our kitchen because we had a wood stove, but we also had an electric stove. I don't know why we had both. And I remember my mother watching Queen for a Day and getting so excited because all of the women that would win these automatic washers and dryers. And I just remember her mumbling to herself, someday I'll have one of those.
Oh.
And it took a few years, but she did eventually have one.
Do you remember the day those appliances arrived?
Oh, I think it was probably in the late 50s. Yeah.
And how did it change things?
It made things a lot easier. It uncluttered the kitchen substantially.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. One thing that I was thinking about when I was listening to your last caller is just the difference in priorities, too. We had bought a television, but we hadn't bought a washer and dryer.
Oh.
So, and looking back on it, you know, you just sort of wonder why that is.
Now, where was your childhood? Where did you grow up?
We grew up in B.C. for part of the time,
mm-hmm.
and Saskatchewan and Manitoba.
So you had the frozen sheets on the line.
Oh, yes. And then when I was married in the mid-70s, we moved into the bush, and I remember putting sheets on the line when it was 50 below and trying to take them off and having the sheets actually break in my hand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was a shocker.
So electricity wasn't in the place at all?
Oh, no.
Not
no,
an option.
We didn't have electricity at all there.
Mm. Yeah. Did your parents ever, did your mom ever talk about why the television rather than clothes, washer, or dryer?
Well, I think my dad liked to watch the fights,
as
they used to call it.
Yeah.
So so he and you know, the different families would come over and they'd watch the fights.
Hmm.
And my mother would watch Queen for a Day in the afternoon.
Did she have to wait long for the dryer?
Until about 1959.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Joy, who was the buyer in most of these cases? Was it, you know, in this case that she described, it was the husband who wanted the TV set.
Right.
Who had priority here?
I expect that television set would have cost about a tenth of the combined cost of a washer and dryer. So partly it could have been just that. Everybody could agree that you could get the money set aside for a TV. Men had a lot of say because men were the ones who had cash and women didn't have independent sources of income or even credit cards. I mean, you couldn't maybe pull the stunt of going down and getting it on your credit card, presenting it, and then making a case after it had been in use for a week or so of why it was important. Most women told me that they went and did the scouting expeditions, then took their husband of the day and said, as far as I can see, this is the one we need. But this priority to the barn, if you were on a farm, to the garage, if you were in town, to family recreations over saving women's time, was pretty common and often agreed to by women who said to me, look, I wasn't bringing wages into the house. We needed to think about where the wages were going.
Mm-hmm.
If we put cash into the barn, then that yielded cash.
Mm-hmm.
I could never say that my laundry being done in this amount of time as opposed to that made the household better in cash terms. So there was a way in which work got connected to the market in that sense.
Interesting.
I was thinking also about what Bonnie said about a wood and an electric stove. I think that's a cash matter, too, that if you had both a wood and an electric stove, then the time of year when you didn't mind having the house really heated by the wood stove, you could be warm for free.
Yes.
Whereas
yes.
in the summer, where I remember where I grew up, you wanted an electric stove because you had thrashers to cook for at the time of year when the kitchen would be just made unbearable if you'd been working with a wood stove.
Yes.
I thought Bonnie's comment also about moving back into the bush. Lots of women I've talked to know these technologies from the 1890s to the 1950s in their own lives, and they move back and forth in them all through the 50s and 60s as they move up to the Charlottes and then back down to the lower mainland, then into the interior. So the range of experience of technology domestically for women in British Columbia is pretty considerable.
My goodness. Okay, let's talk with Frank now. Different perspective in Seashelt. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Cecilia.
So tell me what your memories are of the 50s and 60s as far as new appliances and modernization.
I just wanted to make a comment that it's ironic that you're having this topic on the show today, because I'm just unpacking from moving, and a 30-second phone call got me my telephone hooked up. And where I was raised in Western Australia in the 50s, we waited 6 months to get a telephone.
Oh.
Similarly, a cablevision man will come this afternoon, and he'll push a couple of buttons, and I'll have 30-something channels on my television set.
Mm-hmm.
And those sorts of communication systems have just changed where I was raised, and it's very similar, I think, to what Canada was like in the 50s. My mother boiled our washing in a copper tub, and then she took it out and hung it on the back line in the sunshine. And I've heard my wife, who's a Canadian, talk about a similar kind of thing here in the 50s. My dad had a charcoal gas producer on his car. It burned, it was like a big boiler on the back of the, on the trunk of the car, and it burned charcoal, and it produced this combustible gas, because gasoline was simply impossible to get in those days. We couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. We had an outhouse, and we lived in the suburbs in Perth, Western Australia. We had an outhouse there up until the mid-50s. I was a teenager in those days. So I imagine there are people, you know, in Vancouver who can probably tell the same kind of stories. So it might be interesting to sort of compare, you know, a modern Western post-war city like Perth, Australia with Vancouver.
Do you remember ever getting the, you know, washer, dryer, television set? Things like
never
that?
The TV, no. I had left there before television came. I left there in 1958, and we still didn't have TV. And I came later, and I've heard stories of my father sitting around watching the test pattern, just like people in here. And yes, my mother did finally get an automatic washing machine, and it had one of those ringers on the top, which swung over. You did your washing. You pulled the lever at the bottom, and it did the washing. And then when you were through, you took the lid off, and a ringer kind of hinged over the top of the thing, and you pulled another lever, and she would put the sheets through this ringer. And
no rinse cycle?
No rinse cycle that I know of. So, but she was one who liked to starch her laundry, so she would starch it, and then she would iron them on a table. No ironing boards in those days. So, yes, I can sort of remember those kinds of, you know, conveniences creeping in the late 50s there. So,
what was the one that arrived after the washing machine and before you left home?
Oh, I think a new radio, you know, I think they just sort of got around to inventing transistors,
mm-hmm.
and small Japanese radios came out, and that was a great boon. And my father bought that, and he bought me a record player for my 18th birthday, mm-hmm. and it played these old 78 records, and that was a wonderful thing to have.
Oh, sounds great.
But apart from that, we had a kerosene refrigerator, and I think we changed to electric around about 1959, 1960. Mm-hmm. So those are, you know. It probably Australia was 5 or 10 years behind in simply being able to get things. You just couldn't get stuff down there.
It sounds like it was, you know, later than here in Canada, which was behind the United States at the time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call.
Okay, goodbye, Cecilia.
Take care. Happy moving.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. Dave is calling from his car in Hope. Hi, Dave.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
It's a very interesting interesting program you got on the radio today.
It is interesting, isn't it? Tell me what you remember of those times.
Well, it was we lived in a area of northern northwestern Saskatchewan, and we didn't have power there. And one of the very first appliances I've ever seen in my life was a Thor gasoline-powered wringer washing machine that my mother had. And it was quite a piece of equipment.
What was it like?
It was a very similar to the one described here, the previous caller described, where you'd have to turn the wringer mechanism over the top of the tub to wring the clothes out on the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a small gasoline engine underneath that you started with a step-on trip type of mechanism. It would start the engine, and it would splutter and cough and make a lot of smoke and bark, and away it would go if you were lucky enough to get it started. It came with a hose that attached, and either could go a long, flexible metal hose that you stuck out through the wall, and that was the exhaust, or on a sunny day, it could be rolled outside.
Do you remember the day it arrived?
Excuse me?
Do you remember the day it arrived at your home?
No, I don't. Probably arrived, my father probably brought it to the home when I was at school or something like that. But I do remember seeing the very first time it ever ran and seeing it start up and run.
So what kind of reaction did your mom have?
Excuse me?
What was your mom's reaction?
I think she was well pleased. It sort of eliminated the need for a scrub board, but I really actually don't think she trusted the machine for a while. I've seen the scrub board around there for a great number of years.
Why didn't she trust it?
I can't really say why she didn't trust it. It was just that it was a new piece of equipment, and I think people nowadays are still tend to keep what is proven around for a while, and this is being an appliance. It's a little bit different.
Fairly typical experience, Joe?
I think so. I think that quantum leap from the washboard to the wringer washer must have been extraordinary. By comparison from a wringer to an automatic, it's kind of a mild gradient. And women really were nostalgic about their wringers in the way that Dave is suggesting his mother was nostalgic about her washboard. They kept them around for a long time.
I think I'm going to hang up now. I can barely hear anything.
Okay, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Let's talk with Nancy now. She's calling from Salt Spring Island. Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
Do you remember the 40s and 50s, the 50s and 60s and all the new appliances and modern things that came into the home?
Well, I grew up on Salt Spring, and we didn't have electricity, running water, or telephone. Until just about when I was ready to leave home. And there was you boil the water on the stove, and it was a wood stove, and poured it into the galvanized tubs and scrub the clothes on the scrubbing board. We got a gas-powered washing machine when I was 13 because my brother was working in the bush and he was bringing home his dirty washing, and my mother's wrists were sprained from trying to scrub these loggers' work clothes, and so I was having to do it. I was spending my Saturdays washing my brother's stuff. And are you still there?
Oh, we're still here, wondering where your brother was. Why was he washing his own clothes?
Oh, God. I'm going to have to go.
Okay. Bye. Our next caller is Connie on the line in Sorrento. Hi, Connie.
Hello.
Tell us what memories you have of modernizing your home in the 50s and 60s.
Well, my story goes back a lot longer, a lot earlier than that. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I was, this comes from Ottawa. I was born there in 1923, And there was a company in Ottawa that made Connor washing machines.
Mm-hmm.
And in the ballroom of the Chateau Laurier in Ottawa, when I was a very little girl, my mother and I did a commercial about Connor washing machines.
Oh, get out. How did it go?
Well, I remember that I skipped in from school, and the object was, of course, that my mother was there. She welcomed me, and I sat on her knee, and we talked about school, and then we talked about, she read me a story, or this was the object of it, that because she had a Connor washing machine, she had time to enjoy her little girl when she came home from school.
Oh, dear.
So, you know, that would be 65, 70 years ago.
Did she get a washing machine out of the
deal?
Oh, yes. Oh, good.
Yes, we had that Connor washing machine with the wringer, and but we, you run your clothes into a laundry tub to rinse them,
mm-hmm.
and then you could wring them. That was why the wringer could swivel on the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, but we had. My father was very good about getting mother all the latest appliances because we had a Moffat electric stove with an oven on the side, and we had a refrigerator and this washing machine. And I didn't get to enjoy the old wood stove and the washboard and the coal oil lamps until we bought a cottage up here in the Shuswap.
Oh, dear.
Where we have no electricity and we can enjoy all those lovely old-fashioned things.
So you're saying your father was pretty diligent about bringing all these, you know, modern, newfangled ideas into the home.
Oh, yes, he was.
Why?
Well, I guess he always had a car, and I guess he felt that this was mother's prerogative. Also, my mother was a very progressive person because even in those days, she did substitute teaching after she was married.
Mm-hmm.
And during these years, she went out and worked as well. And because she just loved teaching school, and she taught those children that were hard of hearing and had problems with eyesight, the sunshine classes in the Ottawa public school system. And then when the men all went off to war, she taught the woodworking classes. She was a progressive person herself.
So what kind of a difference did it make in your home to have, well, first the wringer washer and then, you know, all of the other appliances?
Well, I didn't know anything else as I grew up, but I learned to iron very early in my life. I learned to bake. I did all the cookies and the cakes and the pies and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sunbeam Mixmaster was very important in my learning to bake, and my father saw that I had one when I was 12, 13 years old. And that was the very first gift he bought for me after the war. The very first year they came out, it would have been, I guess, about 1947. By that time I was married and had married a Westerner, and we lived in West Van, and that was the very first gift that he sent me after the war, was a Sunbeam Mixmaster, and I still have it.
Oh, Connie, what did you think when you got that gift from your dad?
Oh, I felt that he realized I was pretty special too, but he knew that I really appreciated having a Mixmaster to do all of the baking that I enjoyed doing. Making the cookies, but it was more that my father cared. You know, he really wanted me to have just the best.
Mm. Great stories. Thank you, Connie, very much.
You're very welcome.
Take care.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Interesting that a father would buy these things for the daughter.
Yeah, Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially the small appliances. I mean, you notice when you read through Chatelaine in the 1950s that each Christmas there seems to be a new small appliance. Mm-hmm. I guess we still have this now,
exactly.
Don't we?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, it's not bread makers. It's, you know, for a while back it was the popcorn machines and
right,
whatever.
Right,
just
right.
Increase that electrical bill. Now, in case anyone is worried about Nancy, our caller from Salt Spring Island, that was two calls ago, she had to hang up suddenly. Well, she's fine. It was just a minor, short-lived crisis, okay? Candy on the line now in Vancouver. Hello, Candy.
Hello.
Tell me what your memories are of modernizing your home back in the 50s and 60s.
Well, listening to all your callers today, I'm remembering when rural electrification came to the ranch up in the North Thompson. And so the first wonderful appliance for me was an electric refrigerator, which replaced a propane refrigerator, which we hadn't been able to use in the wintertime, something to do with the hose lines coming in from the propane tank. It wouldn't work properly in the wintertime. So, first of all, I had a refrigerator all year round.
Well, hang on. We've got a little bit of music to play for you, okay? Listen to this, Candy.
Well, boy!
Is there something I can do for you, young man?
Yes, sir. Here. I want to buy my mom a refrigerator for Christmas, and I saved up $3.15.
Well, son, I'm afraid that's hardly... Why, certainly, sir. Now, here's a refrigerator I know your mother likes. It's the new Frigidaire. Isn't it a beauty?
Dad, this is the one. This is the one Mom said she wanted.
It sure is.
Say, will it keep ice cream real cold so it doesn't get all gooey?
I'll say it will. See, this big freezer chest up here holds over 49 pounds of food. Enough ice cream for a party. And your mom's meat and frozen foods besides. Can you see up there, Billy?
Sure, Pop. Gee, look at all the ice cubes.
And these trays slide right out. And you just lift this lever and the ice pops out of the tray.
Jeepers!
Well, there certainly seems to be lots of room in this Frigidaire. Mama likes that, Billy.
I'll say.
You'll get on one of Frigidaire's best features. With this freezer chest, the adjustable shelf arrangement, and these two deep hydrators down here, your wife can shop just once a week if she wants to.
Well, that should save a lot of extra trips to the store.
You'll get years of trouble-free service from this Frigidaire. You know, it's powered by Frigidaire's famous meter miser. The simplest cold-making method ever built. So you can always depend on good, safe cold from top to bottom.
Hey, Pop, can we put a big red ribbon on it like that one? Can we?
We sure can. Looks like you've made a sale.
Where'll we put our present? Won't fit under the tree or in Mom's stocking.
Well, don't you worry about that, Billy boy. No matter where we put it, Mother will say it's the best Christmas present she ever got.
Boy, oh boy.
Okay, Candy, I'm sorry it wasn't music. Just one of the longest ads you probably ever heard.
Mine came from Woodward's, and it was my in-laws who bought it for me.
Oh.
Have I got time to tell you about another wonderful
yes.
little electric gizmo?
Yes, go ahead.
It's called it was called an immersion heater.
An immersion heater?
An immersion heater, yeah. I had the old Ringer washing machine mm-hmm. once we had the electricity, but I didn't have any hot water because of the wood stove. This thing had a heating coil in the bottom. It was all encased in metal, and then the cord came up through a long tube out the top. And so I would fill the washing machine with cold water, put this thing into the washing machine and plug it in, and in about an hour or so, I would have a washing machine full of hot water.
Oh, my goodness. Now, did all of this kind of stuff really change your life a lot?
Oh, well, it's a lot better than heaving the wash boiler off the stove into the laundry tub.
Yeah, I guess it would be.
Yep.
Okay, thanks so much for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. We're talking about modernizing your home back in the 50s and the 60s, and we want to hear your stories. The telephone numbers at Almanac are 669-3733 if you're calling from the Lower Mainland. If you're calling long distance, it's 1-800-825-5950. And if you're on a cell phone, star 690. My guest is Dr. Joy Parr. She's an historian at Simon Fraser University, and she's been researching, and I guess, oh, we'll call you an expert in this kind of stuff.
All right.
Okay, fine. Let's talk with Nicholas in Kelowna. Hi, Nicholas.
Hi. I just had to run like heck with my modern phone because it was going dead, so I could grab one in the wall.
what do you remember from this time? What do you remember about the modern appliances of this time?
Well, I got three things to tell you quickly because I got to go.
Okay.
I have the first Mixmaster that was made. I'm only 64.
Boy.
And I had the first TV, 1953, in Vancouver. And I want to tell you something. I couldn't get on that other part because you didn't have a call in. When I started school, my first grade, I was taught by a teacher who was the son-in-law of Sergeant Preston Manning. Sergeant Preston, Northwest Mounted Police. And I met him. And I met his wife, who was Wood Cree. And I knew his granddaughters very well.
What a background. Thank you so much for your call, Nicholas. Bye-bye. Let's talk with Cynthia now in Port Alberni. Hi, Cynthia.
Hello.
So tell me what you remember of modernizing the house back in those days.
I'm also not very old. I'm just in my mid-40s, but we're all like time travelers because things are moving so fast for us that... you know, we can remember back to when things were very different. When I was between 14 and 16 or 17, it was my job every Saturday to clean the house when my mom went off to work. And I remember having this big wrestle with the floor polisher. It was, I don't know if anybody even has them anymore, but it had three rings on the bottom, and you could put different attachments on, like brushes or these kind of sheepskin polisher things and so on. So the idea was you would wash the floor, and then after you'd washed it, you would go over the floor with the floor polisher. And it was a big, heavy thing, and just getting it out of the cupboard was a big adventure. And then snap on the whatever attachments I was using and zoom around the floor with the floor polisher.
Wasn't it called a buffer?
It might have been a buffer. We always called it the floor polisher, but I'm not sure if it had a proper name or not. But I remember one time somehow managing to buffer over the cord and getting the cord all wrapped up in the rings on the bottom, and I snapped the cord and sparks flew everywhere, and it was just awful. Oh. And I knew I was going to be in big trouble when my parents got home. But it was actually kind of fun using it because the floor would be quite dull, and then as you go over the floor polish, you leave all these shiny little rings and little patterns and so on.
Yes,
so that was quite
exactly.
neat. But it's just one of those things, you know, with the new linoleum and so on. Now I don't think people even wax their floors or polish them anymore at all. So.
Well, we've got another caller who apparently remembers the floor polisher too. Carrie is on the line in North Vancouver. Hello there.
Hi there.
Hi, you remember the floor polisher?
Yeah, I do. I've been scooped.
Oh.
yeah, I am guess about the same age as your last caller. I'm in my early 40s, and I remember a Westinghouse floor polisher that my mom had, and it was originally had two little rotating discs on it, but it was a lot of fun for me to play with when I was a kid because it you'd start it up and it would sort of move around the floor in unpredictable directions and things like that. So that was the one that sort of stood out in my mind in terms of newfangled appliances.
Did your mothers, both of you, Cynthia and Carrie, did your mothers really like this appliance?
I actually think my mother probably hated it because I was always the one who had to polish the floor. But I think she liked the convenience of having it, but she never actually used it. It did actually move on its own. It was kind of a scary piece of equipment.
Yeah, yeah. Joy? There was a Canadian innovation in this respect. A designer at Westinghouse in Hamilton figured out that if the two
rotators on the bottom went one clockwise and the other counterclockwise, it would be stable. The other ones that would have been made in the United States and Britain, because both went the same way, had that skidding effect across
life
the floor.
Of their own.
Yeah, sort of like the Sorcerer's Apprentice, wasn't it? So that was, but I think this is a labor-saving appliance that quickly died. And it seems to me that sort of a week or so after people realized there was polyurethane varnish, the Salvation Armies of Canada filled up with these little green floor polishers. You know.
Carrie, did you have to use it very much yourself?
Well, I remember it got used quite a bit because the home we were living in at the time had hardwood floors, and there was a lot of washing and waxing and polishing that went on. So it got pretty good and stable use, although I don't think it was the kind of thing that was necessarily welcome, because I think it would just contributed an additional step to the whole process, you know.
Did they exit through garage sales?
I remember it in its later stages of life sort of becoming pretty decrepit, and the handle was bent, and the switch stopped working, and I really don't know what became of it ultimately, but...
Cynthia, what about...
I went away to university, and my parents sold a house, and in the process of moving from the old house to the new one, I guess they just got rid of it somehow, but it was a sturdy monster. I think we must have had sort of a deluxe model, because as I say, ours had three rings instead of two, and it worked like a charm right to the last day.
Boy.
And I don't know if they garage sold it or what they did, but
maybe they just left
they
it for the new owners.
And put a cross
Boy, did either of you feel that your household went through a kind of revolution with new appliances during that time?
Oh, mine certainly did. My mother was from England, and she was the eldest of 11 children. And I think when she was living at home, they had nothing. They were very poor. And, I mean, she remembers the washboard washing and all that sort of thing. So she was keen to have whatever labor-saving device came on the market. I mean, we weren't a well-to-do family by any means, but we definitely scrimped, and they were a priority. So whatever came, we bought it. And she was definitely keen on all that.
Carrie, what about you?
Yeah, I don't know whether it was my mother or my father, but maybe both. They were great about gadgets. I remember electric can openers, electric toothbrushes, anything that was sort of new and maybe even a little bit gimmicky. We seemed to turn up at one time or another. And, we always seemed to have something that would just come down the pipe that, you know, was the latest and the greatest. So...
But what's really interesting, those things may have come and gone, but in those days when you bought a refrigerator or a stove, they lasted forever and ever. Like the floor polisher you're talking about just went on and on.
Yeah, ours certainly did. We even had a little canister vacuum cleaner. It was like a little robot with big wheels, and... you know, that was another thing, that they had it for 20, 25 years, and it was still working wonderfully. I don't know what they do with that either, but...
Boy. Okay, thank you both so much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Great program. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Brian is on the line in Vancouver. Hi, Brian.
Hi, good afternoon.
So what do you remember about modernizing the home back in the...
Well, I can remember. I'm underneath the Granville Street Bridge right now, so don't break up. But anyway... my parents had an ice box at home until about the mid-50s, and I can remember the ice man from Ridley Ice coming up to the house all the time and dropping the big block of ice in.
Mm-hmm.
But then we got a International Harvester fridge, and I would suggest it'd be about 1953. And today I still have that International Harvester fridge, and I keep it in the basement where we force them to keep our wine cooled.
My goodness, it's still working.
Works like a hot damn.
Holy.
Or a cold damp.
What other appliances do you remember from then?
I can remember getting one of those wretched irons, or one of those rolling irons that they were talking about.
The mangle.
The mangle. Yeah, and actually, my parents were going to throw that out, and I took the motor out of it, and I use it today as a motor for my grinder. You know, sharpening grinder in the basement, so it's just got a V-belt on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so anyway, they made good stuff then, and I think they still make good stuff today.
Okay, thanks so much for the call.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Joan is calling now in Vancouver. Hi, Joan. Hello, Joan, are you on the line? Okay, no, let's try Mike, Victoria. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Tell me if you remember all of those modern appliances coming into your home in the 50s and 60s.
Well, no, that's a little early for me, but I do remember. I've got a couple other stories that I was working in a hardware store one time in Parksville,
mm-hmm.
and it was during the wood heater craze,
yeah.
and an older couple came by, and they were looking at this wood stove, so I went out to talk to them about it, and I was, you know, telling them all the features. All of a sudden, the old lady said to me, "You know, we've worked our fingers to the bone for years to get rid of our wood heater. You're not going to sell me one of these, even if you tried."
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah.
And then the other story happened to me when I was a lot younger. We lived in Manitoba, and we had a coal furnace in our basement, but you couldn't get coal anymore, so I had to drive with my little pickup truck to Brandon, which was about 50 miles, and we had to go get the coal. We'd bring it home and have to shovel it into the coal bin in our basement through the coal chute.
Mm-hmm.
We had this mechanical stoker that we used to then have to shovel it up once or twice a week. And then our landlord got a gas furnace in his house in town. We inherited his oil furnace, and we thought that was just great.
Do you remember appliances that really changed the way you lived?
Well, for a long time when I was really young, we didn't have power or water. And then when we did get power or water, we got a Ringer washer. And this was quite late. I guess automatic washers were in vogue by then. And I thought the Ringer washer was really great because I was about 14 then, and I used to have to do the laundry. And I thought it was just wonderful.
Now, was it your mother or father who bought it?
I can't remember, really. I know neither one of them did the laundry.
You were the one who was grateful.
I was the one, yeah.
Thanks so much for the call.
Okay, then.
Bye-bye, Mike. Let's talk with Sheila in Nanaimo. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, I can hardly hear you.
Okay, I'll speak up as loudly as I can.
Okay.
Tell me what you remember from those days about modernizing your home.
My mom getting the washer and dryer, for sure.
The electric stuff.
Yeah. The real, yes. Your basic speed queen washer dryer set. I had graduated. It was about 1970, and Mom had always had a Ringer washer with the concrete laundry tub,
mm-hmm.
and the iron was a big, heavy iron. And I can still hear the thump of the iron when she was doing the ironing, which would be Tuesday, of course, because Monday was wash day.
Washing day, exactly.
And I don't think she was ever happy after she got the washer and dryer, because there was no doubt in her mind that the clothes were not as clean. The washer just, how could it possibly be getting the clothes clean when they were just jiggling around in the water, that without her physically plunging her arms in up to the elbows,
scrubbing.
Scrubbing them and
mm-hmm.
and using the glass board
mm-hmm.
and squishing them through the wringer into the tub. And she was never satisfied ever after she got a normal washing machine.
But she did use them.
She did use them, yes. There was no space to keep the wringer once those came in. And the concrete laundry tub also went out, which I think was seeing her best friend being carried away because she used it for so many things. And the dryer is now, well, what, 23 years old, and I bet it doesn't have more than about 5 hours of use on it.
Oh, really? Now
she still hangs her clothes up.
Mm-hmm.
She will still hang them up, and, of course, they never dry. And all winter, of course, and so they're brought in then and hung in the furnace room.
Mm-hmm.
In hopes that they dry, and I guess nothing has to be dry in a hurry. She got a new stove in around the same time and hated it so much that she'll barely keep the top of it clean. She just despises it because it doesn't work as well as her old one either.
Mike, now what kind of a stove is this? Electric one?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and she still has her floor polisher. And
still uses it?
Yes. Up until recently when she had a new floor put in her kitchen of the no-polish kind, which I don't think she really believes that it's no-polish.
No-polish. Mm-hmm.
And an old Electrolux with, like, sled runners on the bottom, which I thought was the greatest thing as a child to sit on because it just glided across the carpet. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Wonderful stories. Thank you so much for the call.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Let's try and get one more caller in very briefly here. Carol is on the line in Coquitlam. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hi.
We've only got a minute or so left, but do you have a story of modernizing the house?
Well, I just wanted to tell you how the floor polish I remember at home, it was even before those electric ones, or maybe my parents just didn't buy one, but it was an old block on the end of a stick, and they used to sort of plonk it down on the floor with a cloth underneath, and we used to ride on it, and we would sort of ride back and forth over the floor. It was great.
Wow.
But it was a manual one.
Ah.
And I'm sort of going back that way. You know, I have a push lawnmower. I like to hang things outside. But I think it's because I have the luxury of doing so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do it, but it's kind of fun to know how to bake bread and know all the old-fashioned ways.
Things you don't have to know anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for the call.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I know we still have lots of callers on the line, but with so close to 2 o'clock, we really can't go to another call. Thank you so much, Joy, for coming in today. This was really interesting.
It was.
I hope it gives you more information for all these things you're putting together.
I'd love to hear from people.
Well, why don't we give them your address, okay? Department of History, Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, and the postal code, if you want to write to Dr. Joy Parr, is V5A1S6. I'll give that all to you one more time. You address this to Dr. Joy Parr. Joy's an historian at Simon Fraser. You write to the Department of History at Simon Fraser University in Burnaby. Postal code is V5A1S5. And, you know, you can just photocopy those letters and send a copy into us, too, because we want to hear it here at Almanac. And our address, Almanac at CBC Radio, Box 4600, Vancouver, V6B482. Our fax number is 662-6106, and the email address is almanac@mindlink.bc.ca. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and we'll be talking with you again next week from noon to 2. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.